Good evening, everybody. It's good to see everyone back out this evening. Got a good number. We've got visitors. We appreciate the presence of each and every individual here this evening. Please open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. And on Wednesday night, we've started looking at some lessons from the book of Hebrews. There are many different themes and ideas and thoughts that run through this book. And Hebrews is full of lessons, and we've been looking at faith. And we started off looking at what faith is. And we saw that faith is something that will help us do the impossible. We think about Noah building an ark for that flood that was coming. How was he able to build that huge ark? It was by faith that he had in God, that what God said he was going to do, that moved Noah. We looked at how to develop faith. We looked about 12 or 15 different ways from the book of Hebrews where the writer exhorted us to do certain things which will help us build faith. Last week, we looked at the lack of faith. The lack of faith, that is the sin that is common to all of us. Because at times our faith is weak, we falter, and we need to build our faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we need to understand what faith is, how we acquire it, how we implement it in our lives so that we can please God. So this evening, I want us to look at one example. We're going to look at the example of Moses. So let's start reading in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's commands. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasure of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked forward to the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. You know, Moses is held up as one of the greatest characters in the Old Testament. He is repeated again here in the New Testament. We'll refer back to a few verses in the Old Testament. But Moses, in this chapter of faith, the Hebrews of faith, is held up as an example to us. Now, if you have 7 fingers, you're going to be able to remember the sermon tonight, because we're going to look at 3 things that Moses gave up, 3 things that he chose, and the motivation for that. So most of us will get that. Okay? Let's start and look in verse 23, and I think it's interesting that the story of his faith begins with his parents. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents. During the time of the birth of Moses, we learn from back in Exodus chapter 1:22 that Pharaoh commanded that every son that is born shall be cast into the river. To disobey this command would have had serious consequences for the parents of Moses, Amram, and Jochebed. But they disobeyed this commandment anyway. Pharaoh wanted every son put to death, cast into the river. The Israelites were growing so fast, multiplying so fast, Pharaoh was afraid that they would outnumber the Egyptians and take over. So he commanded the sons that were born to be cast into the river. So notice, they hid him. They probably hid him in their house for the space of about 3 months. And when you stop and think about that, would that be easy to do? You know, you think about when you have a child that is born, what do you want to do? You want to tell everybody. You want to tell everybody, hey, we have a baby. And we have a baby boy. We want everybody to know that. But if they did this, they could face being put to death. So they had to keep this a secret. And it says, by faith, it was his parents' faith. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months. So here we have a biblical principle we see throughout the Bible. We're going to see God working in the life of Moses. But first, God expects us to do everything that we can do before he does his part. The parents hid Moses by faith for 3 months. We recognize, like when we're told to pray for a daily bread, we don't just sit down and wait for it. We go out and work for it. So they hid their son as long as they could. They did all that they could to save Moses, and then they trusted in God to fill in the gap. They had faith. When they could no longer protect Moses on their way, they made him an ark. They placed him in an ark in a location where he would be found, according to Exodus chapter 2 and verse 3. And by the providence of God, not only was Moses saved from death, but he was raised to a position of privilege. He was instructed in the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was honored as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And it all starts with the faith of his parents. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents. Well, let's start and notice some things that he gave up. And the first subject I want us to consider, he gave up a position of status and power. Now, is status and power wrong? Not in and of themselves, but we see that sometimes falling under the category of the pride of life. We want to reach a certain status in life, and a lot of times when people reach that, they aren't satisfied. They want to reach another one, a higher one, and a higher one. Moses grew up in the household of Pharaoh's daughter. He could have had anything, but he gave that up. He became a lowly shepherd that had run away from the Egyptians to avoid them putting him to death for something that he had done. So again, he went from the pinnacle up on top, down as low as he could go. He gave up that position of status and power, but we'll see that God richly blessed him. And how did he give that up? Why did he give it up? It was by faith. It was by faith. Where did he get that faith? We don't know for sure. Probably from his sister and his parents. Because again, it goes back to verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months. Not that he got the faith in that 3 months period, but Moses' sister and his mother still had influence on Moses while he was being raised. Now, do we ever have the problem of having status or position? It's kind of hard for us to relate to that with Moses. Moses was right up here. But we face that too. All of us have position and power of some sort. If we have a job, there are people that are over us and people that are below us. We have a certain position in society. Some people will look down on other people because they think their position isn't high enough. Well, that person is just a such and such, or that person, they only do that. And again, this attitude will get into someone's mind, and Satan will take that and run with them. Did Moses have an attitude problem? No, he did not. In Numbers 12 and verse 3, we find, now the man Moses, was very humble, more than any man who was on the face of the earth. He was humble. And again, what does humble mean? He was meek. Does that mean he was weak? No. He was meek. He was humble. That's power under control. Just like when you take a horse and you break it, and that horse can be controlled by the reins. You could take a little girl like one of them that's here tonight and set up on that horse, and they could control that horse with the reins because it's broken, it's meek. Moses was meek. He had power. We have power, but we need to be meek. We need to let Christ control our reins and control our life. And when you think about a horse, if it's not broken and you put somebody on the horse, as somebody told me before, he said, "Bruce, you know what they do?" And I said, "What?" And he said, "They buck. They buck." And that's what, if we aren't meek, if we aren't humble, if we aren't brought under the control of Christ, we will want to buck Christ and go against his word. So do we have the attitude that we are better than some others in life? Again, some people put down others because they think that they are better, maybe because of where they live. Well, I wouldn't go into that neighborhood. I wouldn't drive an old car like that. I wouldn't go here. I wouldn't go there. Look at what they're wearing. We all have a certain degree of status and positions. But with that too, again, you think, well, I'm not guilty of that. But we need to be careful, because at some time or another, we probably are. Moses gave it up. We need to give it up. I'm thankful that God is not having Revelation written down today, because he might include my name in the scriptures and the sins that I have committed. And if he were doing that today, he might include you and the sins that you've committed. We need to look at everyone as the same. The world doesn't do that. The world looks at status and position. But on the other hand, none of us have status and position. And why is that? Because we've all sinned. And we all stand before the cross on level ground. We are all sinners. Well, what did Moses give up? He gave up the pleasure of sin. Is sin pleasurable? Yes, it is. We just read that in this passage. And we need to be honest people and admit that. You take a young teenage boy or young man, and if you tell him that there's no pleasure in what he hears his classmates engaging in on a regular basis, if you tell him there's no pleasure in that, even though they tell you there is pleasure, he's going to say, "What else are you lying about?" People know there is pleasure in sin. You take a young teenage girl or a young woman that will dress themselves in such a way that they know they can control a man to get what they want. Why do they do that? They get pleasure out of that. There is pleasure in sin, but it's passing pleasure. It's temporary. It's temporary pleasure. And Moses gave up the passing pleasure of sin for something greater. Well, what type of pleasure was Moses presented with? What type of pleasure? He was presented with the same type of pleasure that we are presented with. He was presented with physical pleasure, with financial pleasure, and with social pleasure. Everyone, every society is tempted with those things. Notice he gave up riches. He gave up riches. He gave up the treasures of Egypt. Moses could have anything that he wanted. Anything. You say, well, we aren't faced with that. How can we relate to Moses? Again, I'd say it's pretty much the same. Where do we live? We live in the United States where we have just about any and everything available to us. What if you don't have money? Doesn't stop a lot of people. They go out, they put it on a charge card. Whatever they want, they don't say no to themselves. They get and accumulate more and more. But Moses, he gave up riches. And you think about how wealthy Pharaoh would have been in all the riches of Egypt, and he gave it up. He gave it up. He realized that riches are not the ultimate goal. And if you start thinking that riches are your goal, you're going to lose sight of Christ. You're going to lose sight of Christ. And we see this principle again in our lives today of giving up something for something greater. You might be saving to buy a car, and you say, well, let's cut out. We won't go out to eat. We won't do this. We won't spend money on that. And you sacrifice and you give up for something greater. You see young people do that with a house. We want to buy a house. We need money for a down payment. We'll give up this. We'll give up that. We won't spend money on that. And they save up and they get something greater. Moses gave up riches. Satan is going to say, you deserve this. You deserve this plus so much more. But he gave up riches. Well, what did he choose? He chose to endure ill treatment. Moses understood the difference between pleasure for the moment compared to pleasure for an eternity. And he was fully convinced that ill treatment for a season would be gain for joy forever. Have we learned this lesson? Or do we give in to the pleasure of the world to avoid discomfort? He chose to endure ill treatment. There's just something about status and money that it's kind of like a flame and a moth. It attracts people to that. It's the deceptiveness of riches. And I forget what we were talking about the other day, Carol and I, but she brought up something where it was about people going to a certain congregation for the social influence, not because they're converted to Christ, not because they love the work and want to do the work, but it would enhance their social standing or business opportunities. They could find new clients. A lot of people don't want to associate with people below their level. They just don't want to associate with people below their level. And again, that's the wrong attitude. The world says you climb that ladder, but he chose to endure ill treatment. What ill treatment are we enduring today? I don't think we're enduring very much, not much at all. Well, what did he choose? What was his second choice? He chose to be included with the despised people. Moses, again, he would have been allowed to enjoy the honor and luxury of Pharaoh's court. The Egyptians at this time were the most educated and most powerful nation on the earth, an influential nation. You take that and you compare it to the Hebrews. And the Hebrews were among the most oppressed and degraded. You have this rich ruling class, and you have these slaves. You have a choice. Who do you want to associate with? The rich ruling class, educated, everything you want, or do you want to be associated with the oppressed slaves that were degraded? What else did he choose? He chose the reward of Christ. By faith, he looked forward to that final reward. And you see, this is one of the elements of faith. Faith is going to cause us to look beyond what's right in front of us, look beyond what's right here, and look forward off into the distance to something better. when we are faced with something right in front of us, it's real easy to say, oh, I want to do this. And again, like talking about this morning, we don't realize the value of our soul and the consequences, and we don't look off to the future. With this mindset on this, he esteemed the reproach of Christ as more valuable than all the treasures of Egypt. You think about somebody that was beaten down and oppressed and looked down on, spat upon, beaten, died with thieves, you know, Jesus Christ. Do we want to be associated with somebody, if you change that name from Jesus Christ to somebody, John Smith or somebody that we might know here in town? Do you want to be associated with him? A lot of times people do not want to do that, but by the faith that Moses had, he could tell the difference in what was from God and what was from man. Well, what was the motivation? What was the motivation for Moses? And again, when he's heading to the promised land, leading the Israelites to the promised land, he doesn't give up. You know, he puts up with their bickering and complaining and murmuring for 40 years in the wilderness, but he doesn't give up. Why doesn't he? It's because of the faith that he has. Look again in the reading. In verse 23, by faith he was protected. In verse 24, by faith he refused. In verse 27, by faith he left. In verse 28, by faith he worshiped. In verse 29, by faith he was delivered. He was saved. All of this was by faith. So what type of faith was it? Was it faith in himself? No. Was it faith in his abilities? No. A lot of people put their faith in their abilities and they say, look at all this talent or look at what I can do. Moses didn't do that. Did he put his faith in his family? No. And again, a lot of people put their faith in their family today to get them out of situations they get their self into. Did he put his faith in his possessions? No. What did he put his faith in? He put it in God. He put it in God. And we must put our faith in God also. And that's, again, it's not just mental assent. It's something that can be very scary. When God tells us to do something. Again, you go back to Noah. Nothing is impossible. No building an ark. You think about Abraham. No sacrifice is too big. When God tells Abraham, offer your son, no sacrifice is too big. God is going to test us, and that test can be scary, and we need to be ready for the test. And I tell you, I think most people don't like to be tested, and I'll raise my hand, I don't like to be tested. Just think if you went to the hospital, you had some disease, and they said, we've got this new medicine. Now, we've only tried it out on rats. We haven't tested it on humans. Do you want us to test it on you? Is that going to give you a lot of confidence? We might say yes. We might say yes. But we like things that have been tested, but we ourselves don't want to be tested. But that's how our faith grows. It grows by being tested. And you can count on God testing us. Again, we look at David. He was tested with when he stood before Goliath, and he wasn't afraid of this uncircumcised Philistine because God delivered me from the hand of the lion and the hand of the bear. He had these tests. So when he stood before Goliath, he had faith that God was going to be with him. Again, we look at the Israelites and God's water test. When they crossed the Red Sea and he parted it and they went across on dry land. Next time they came to water, the Jordan. It was during the flood stage, and they had to step out in the flooding water. God tests their faith greater. We tell people, you got to step into baptism. You got to be buried in baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We're saved by faith. And a lot of people are scared to do it. Why do I have to do that? I just want to be saved by faith. God is going to test us. Well, do you have the faith to give up what Moses gave up? Moses gave up status and power. Moses gave up the passing pleasure of sin. Moses gave up riches. Do you have the faith to choose the things that Moses did? Moses chose to endure ill treatment. You think about if persecution comes on this country, what would we do? Would we have faith in Christ, or would we turn our back on Christ? Moses chose to be included with the despised people. He chose to be associated with God's people. God's people. We're the despised people today. He chose to be associated with the Hebrews, not with the Egyptians. Do we choose to be associated with the Church of Christ, or do we choose to just kind of blend in with the world? It all depends on our faith. And Moses chose the reward of Christ. He looked forward to what was waiting for him. He didn't even get to enter into the land of Canaan, but he looked forward to that eternal reward that was waiting. And again, Moses should be a great example for us when we think of how he is mentioned and respected in the Old Testament and the New Testament. He's held up as an example of faith. Everything that he did working to lead God's people there. But with the physical land of Canaan, he did not get into that himself. What lesson is there for us? Do we think that we can coast by and God's going to let us slip in to Canaan? There's a lesson for us. We must have faith. Faith. Friends, God called Moses when he was in the wilderness, and he tested him, and God tested him the rest of his life. And friends, God is calling us tonight. God is calling us tonight, and he will test us the rest of our life. We just need to count on it, not be surprised. He wants to test us to make sure we are found faithful. Why does he want us to be found faithful? Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. So we need to be thankful that God is testing us. If we slip and we falter and we fall, we know where we need to build our faith up. Don't you want to obey God? Don't you want to obey God like Moses did? Put your faith in him. Step out. Be baptized, live for Jesus, and you know that reward that is waiting for you. Don't you want to obey him? Don't you want to do that today? Don't put it off. If your life is not right, if we can assist anybody in obeying the gospel, being obedient to the gospel, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.